Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, and this is Apostle Allison J. Cross of Fire and Rain Ministries International. And tonight we are going to be delving into wise counsel and not making decisions on your own. And I'm going to be talking about that because it's so important that we as believers, if we don't know what to do, we consult God and we also get wise counsel. You never want to just go out and do something on your own without wise counsel. So let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We ask, Father, that you would lead, guide, and direct. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, because you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited tonight. We have been interviewing over the past Reverend Elrita Dodds about her new book, and she's going to be off for a couple of weeks. And so I'm just going to be, you know, sharing what the Lord has put on my heart on the broadcast. I tell you, one of the things that I know that will stop, hinder, stall, or bring to a screeching halt a person's life in ministry is getting counsel from the wrong person or people. It is important that, you know, we get counsel, we get wise counsel, godly counsel. You don't just go out and, if you're getting ready to make a decision, make that decision based on your will, your emotions, what you think it should be, how you want to do things, because, you know, we can trick our own self. We as people can want something so bad that we'll literally get a witness of our own spirit, meaning we'll say, well, I know God is saying this because I can feel it. Well, no, you may not be feeling it. You may be feeling your flesh. You may be feeling your own desire. The Lord says that if we delight ourselves in him, that he will give us the desires of our heart. And that's something that we really have to begin to look at. Lord, are we really delighting ourselves in you? If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter 1, and let's look at this scripture. I love this scripture because, you know, it talks about how we should walk. Verse 1 starts off where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's stop right there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What does that mean? It means exactly what it says. Don't go around getting counsel, getting advice, from people that don't even know God. If you are a Christian and you're saved and you want to go to your friends that may not, you know, have a relationship with the Lord and say, well, what do you think I should do? Well, I want to do this. And, you know, they said I shouldn't do this, but, you know, and I'm grown and, you know, all of that stuff. But according to you know what, when people make rash, quick decisions, they end up in rash, quick situations. And so, but the Bible says that we're blessed if we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So I don't want to be cursed, so to speak. I don't want to walk out from under the blessings of God. And everything that, you know, even when you look at the Bible and it says, the blessings of the Lord make us rich and add no sorrow to it. In Deuteronomy, it talks about, you know, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord and keep his commandments, all the blessings will come upon you. But there had to be something going on. There has to be something going on by way of hearing. See, it says here, it has to be something going on with hearing the right voice. Many people today are listening to the wrong voice, the wrong people, because the wrong people and the wrong voices are really agreeing with your flesh. And we have to put that flesh on the altar. We got to take it out back and shoot it. We got to burn it up. We have to get rid of it, because there's nothing that we're going to be able to do in the kingdom of God effectively if the flesh is in control. If the flesh is in control, we're always going to be wanting, you know, running around doing what we want to do. We're going to live an offended life, because a person that is after the things of the flesh, after, you know, not the things of the spirit, a person that is rejected and things like that, they're always going to be offended by correction. You can tell a person that is all about what they want and not about the things of God. When you bring correction to them, they get angry, they get mad, they get upset, they go to spouting off at the mouth. They become very disrespectful. That is an angry, rejected, unsubmitted person. Rebellious as well. And, you know, we read about rebellion in Numbers chapter 16, one of the, you know, greatest stories of rebellion. Well, that's the second greatest story. The first greatest story of rebellion is when Lucifer got kicked out of heaven because he rebelled. He wanted the throne. He wanted to be exalted. The second one, in my opinion, is that of Korah. Korah rebelled against Moses, you know, and the people that followed, the angels that followed Lucifer, they were, of course, walking in the counsel of the ungodly because he became ungodly the moment he decided that he wanted to exalt himself above God and get God's spot. And we have to watch out for that type of spirit. We have to watch out for people that want to exalt themselves, that want to overthrow their leader, that want to bring mutiny into the church, and they want the spot. And so they're going to sow seeds of discord amongst the brethren. They're going to begin to say and do things that are ungodly and, you know, not line up with the word of God. And then Korah was a Levite. He already had a position, but that was not good enough. See, when the enemy enters into the heart of a person and begins to speak to them about what they need to be doing by now, they should have been doing this, they should have been doing that, the pastor don't want me to do nothing but clean the bathroom. Well, maybe it's something about cleaning the bathroom will bring a person to humility. If you are not satisfied in the position that you are in, where God has you, you have to step back and say, why am I not satisfied? What is it going on in my life that I am not satisfied where God has me? That's something that we really need to look at. We have to look at it. We have to think about it. We have to, you know, search ourselves and say, God, it's me. It is me standing in the need of prayer. I need prayer, Lord. I need you to not only fix me, but I need you to show me. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me where I fell short. And that is so important because if not, if you don't do that, then you'll be like the scripture. Now it says, blessed the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I'm not going to, you know, if I'm trying to hear God, I'm not going to take unwise counsel. I'm not going to sit down with you, and I'm not going to stand with you. Many people stand with people that they know are not right because they want to keep that person around them. They want to keep them in, you know, in their space. You know, and it goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The Bible says that, you know, if you delight yourself in the Lord, that he will give you the desires of your heart. And when we look at delight, it says that his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, I'm going to delight myself in the word. I choose to delight myself in the word no matter what. No matter what things look like on the exterior, according to the word, everything is all good. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. So you're going to have some times when you may be challenged. You may have challenges. You may have issues pop up in the family and otherwise. But still, I'm going to put my delight in the Lord and in his law. And I'm going to meditate on the word. Do you know when you meditate on the word of God, when things begin to pop up, you will be able to give an answer. You'll be able to know how to pray. You know, if something goes on health-wise, you say, you know what, Lord, I know the symptoms I have. I know what I see. But according to your word, this is where I am. I am the healed of the Lord. I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. And we have to stand on the word. We have to literally take the word three times a day like medicine. If you're going through a challenge in your body, I challenge you to take the word like medicine because the word works. It heals. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I love this part because it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. But if you're walking in ungodly counsel, you're going to be wavering. You're going to be just like in James, I believe it's chapter 3. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It talks about a man being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, wavering back and forth. But if you are walking in the counsel of God, in godly counsel, if you're not hanging out with those that don't love God and are doing all type of stupid stuff, and that you are delighting yourself in the law of the Lord and meditating on his word, then it says you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And, you know, and it says that you will bring forth fruit in his in your season. Now, when you look at a tree planted by rivers of living water, we know that tree roots grow very deep into the ground. And when you look at a tree that's planted by the water, they're constantly getting nourishment, constantly getting fed water, the nutrients, the rocks give off minerals and things like that. But that tree root is so deep, it's so nourished, that no matter what the wind does, it can blow to the left, to the right. You can have 100-mile-an-hour winds, and that tree may bend in the wind, but it's not going to break. Why? Because it's firmly rooted, planted, and grounded. So, you know, you can always tell that are not firmly rooted, planted, and grounded in the word. I didn't say religion. I said the word. You can tell when people are truly rooted, planted, grounded in the word. Number one, the word will check your spirit. And you'll begin to say, Lord, it's me standing in need of prayer. You remember that song that says, not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord? The word of God will shine the light on us. We'll see us before we start reading the word and say, oh, this is for such and such. I need to go tell them what I read in the word about them. No, maybe that was for you. And, you know, that's what the word does. It exposes darkness. It sheds light on the darkness. So no matter when that tree is planted by the rivers of living water, the wind comes, life happens. You may bend, but you won't break. Why? Because you're rooted, you're planted, you're grounded in the word. And stuff hurts. Life happens. People act crazy, act up, act out, betray, stab you in the back. All this stuff happens, especially in ministry. I'm going to tell you something. You get in ministry, you're going to find out who is for you and who is against you real quick, and you won't even have some snakes in the grass around you that'll be around you just to try to bring you down. But I tell you what, God is faithful and just, amen? And so you may run into things. Things may happen in your life, but you won't break. Why? Because you're planted, you're rooted, and you're grounded in him. Now, it goes on to say that he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. What does that mean? That means if you don't bow down, if you don't break, if you know, you may bend because the wind is blowing, you say, oh, Lord, that almost knocked me off my feet, but God. But if you don't bend, you will break, you will bring forth in the season. If you go back to Genesis, chapter 1. Let's run there right quick. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Don't you just love the word? Don't you just love how it makes you feel? You get in that word and you get excited about reading and what God is saying and doing in our lives. I tell you what, the word is awesome. And I'm telling you, the word will keep you if you want to be kept. I'm a living witness. Okay, so if you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 12, it says, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and the fruit, trees yielding fruit after what? His kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And it goes on to say, that was verse 11. Verse 12, it says, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the trees yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. So here is like a direct, you know, cross-reference right back to the book of Genesis, the beginning, where, you know, God was saying, you know, let the earth bring forth fruit after its kind. But then when you go to Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So you're going to bring forth fruit, but the kind of fruit that we want to bring forth is godly fruit. It's two type of fruit. It's good fruit and rotten fruit. And the rotten fruit is that which is of the devil, and the good fruit is that which is of God. And, you know, a tree can't bear two types of fruit. It's either good or it's bad, one or the other. Now, you can have some fake fruit on a tree. Think about that. You know, when you were growing up, did your mama have one of those bowls sitting on the table with where it had that plastic fruit, and some of that plastic fruit looked so real. I was like, oh, my God, I want an apple so bad after looking at that piece of fruit. But I tell you what, that's, you know, that's how the enemy is. The enemy will literally try to look like if the real deal is of God, it is not. That's a whole other teaching, and we may get into that next week, false fruit. But God says that he'll, that tree, if you're planted, if you're rooted, if you're grounded in him, you're going to bring forth good fruit. Everybody say good fruit. You're going to bring forth great good fruit. And it says his leaf also shall not wither. Your leaf is not going to wither. The only, you know, your leaf begins to wither up. You begin to dry up spiritually when you stay out of the word, when you stay out of fellowship, when you begin to do things that you should not be doing. Then you begin to dry up because something in your spirit begins to feel off. And people know, you know, if you're a leader or you're a lay person and you have not spent that time in prayer with God, you have not spent that time in the word and waiting on God, you will begin to feel in your spirit that something is off. And it goes on to say, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow. That's deep. That's not only deep, but that's awesome. Because according to the word, my Bible tells me that if I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, if I don't hang out with those trying to take unwise counsel from them, and if I delight myself in the Lord and I meditate on his word, if I get that word down in my heart, and if I remain planted, rooted, grounded in him, seed is going to come forth, fruit is going to come forth, and then God goes on to say that what I do shall prosper, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So there is no way that I cannot live a prosperous life in him if I'm obeying him. There's no way. There's no way that that spiritually I'm not living a prosperous life. Many people think that prosperity is just money. Sometimes when you say prosperity, the first thing that pops into a person's head is, oh, I'm going to have a whole lot of money. Well, you know what? You can be prosperous. And I heard a woman of God say this online today. She said, you can be prosperous, filthy rich, a billionaire, and you can be in poor health and you can't even enjoy your prosperity. But you know what? That is so true. And I want to say this. God wants us to be well-rounded in prosperity. The Bible says, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So if you are prospering in the things of God, not only are you going to prosper financially, you're going to prosper spiritually, emotionally, socially, in every area of your life. See, God is a well-rounded God. He don't just, you know, have things hanging out on one side and, you know, you're going to prosper financially and spiritually, but you're going to be jacked up in your health. No, God wants us healthy and healed in every single area of our lives. And that's so important because we got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of people out here nowadays that are crying out for help. You know, the Bible also says that I would that you would prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. But you know, we have to look at that scripture. It says, even as your soul prospers, even as your soul is healthy, even as you have let God heal you in those deep, dark areas that you won't allow nobody to touch. God says, I want to heal you there. I want to heal your spirit. I'm going to heal your brokenness. And then you're going to begin to walk in true prosperity. And I tell you what, when you have godly contentment, it's an awesome place to be in because people can't shake your foundation. You know, life happens, things happen. You know, we go through things because we live on the earth. I mean, you know, we're here temporarily in this particular state of living on the earth. But what I'm saying is God can give you such a contentment in him that things will be happening, but they won't shake you. Things will be happening. It won't cause you to lose, you know, to lose hope and lose faith because God is a healer. God is a deliverer. God is one that can set us free, but we have to stay in the right position to stay free. And once God, you know, the Bible says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. And I know for a fact that if God sets you free from anything, do not go back and open that door. Do not go back and open the door once God has set you free, because it is hell on wheels. If you go back in that door and trying to get out, oh, my God, I'm telling you now, don't do it. And the Bible goes on to say, Psalms chapter 1, verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now, when you think about chaff, now, just to break that down a little bit, there's a process in the Bible called winnowing. And what that was is there would be wheat fields, and the people that were over the wheat fields, when it was time to harvest the wheat, they would have to harvest it at a certain time, because when the wind blows, they would beat the wheat and they would crack chaff off of the wheat, that lightweight husk or hull off of the wheat with a winnowing fork. So they would take that winnowing fork and they would beat the wheat until, you know, all that chaff starts to separate from the wheat. Okay, and then they would toss that wheat up in the air, and then the wind would drive the chaff away into a whole other pile. And so the wheat, the good part, would fall down to the ground, and the chaff would be blown away into the wind. And that's what the Bible is saying here. It says that the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. And so if you hanging out with ungodly people and you call yourself saved, now, you know, we live in the world, okay? And so I'm not saying live in a bubble. I'm not saying don't come out of your house. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is fellowship, taking advice, hanging out, you know, partying, all this stuff should not be named. No. But it says that the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff that the wind driveth away. Now, okay, I just told you what it was when the wheat stayed in the place it was supposed to stay in. But the chaff, the ungodly, they were driven away. God is like the winnowing fork, the winnowing instrument. That's kind of like God. He's going to do that separation, but we got to let him. And it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So in other words, the chaff that's been driven away, which are ungodly people, you don't want to connect and get your advice and hang out with some people that are not giving you godly wisdom. You know, we have all type of people in the world today that, you know, can give you advice, that can, you know, somebody always got something to say. They can tell you the shoulda, woulda, couldas, and if they'd have been doing it, they'd have been doing it like this and all of that. But we really need to take a step back and begin to seek the Lord on who we need to get our advice from. Because if you don't know, then yes, you need to get some advice. And godly, wise counsel is what we need to seek. Many people nowadays are letting people fix their lives, and they're Christians, and, you know, and they go sit on the couch at the psychiatrist's office, pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars per hour for a session for somebody to write in a book, and then based on what they learned in school, now check this out, they tell you what's wrong with you. How about we just pick up the Bible, read it, and based on what we learned in the Word of God, do it. See, the word will fix everything that's broken. The word will fix every single thing that's wrong. The word will fix it. I'm a living witness. Had a lot going on in my life, a lot broken, a lot wrong, a whole lot of issues, just so much stuff. I couldn't unravel myself if I tried, and guess what? I didn't have the money to go sit down and pay no psychiatrist, pour my soul out on the couch. And they probably have to go take a stiff drink after they get done hearing half the stuff that people say, you know. And so I had to go to the Word. I had to go to the Lord and say, God, I got all this going on, and I need your help. So he took me to the Word. He began to unravel me. He began to take all the things out of me that was displeasing to him. And the more I allowed him to unravel me, the better I felt, the better I looked, the better I acted. I stopped cussing. I stopped drinking. I stopped smoking weed. I stopped gallivanting around. I mean, a lot of stuff I was doing, I stopped. Why? Not because I had control, but I gave control over to God and said, you know what? I can't do this. This is too much for me, and I need the help of the Lord in order to stop doing what I'm doing. So if you want to stop doing what you're doing, you can do it. Get into the Word. And it goes on to say, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You can no longer sit on the fence. You cannot sit on the fence because God knows. He knows the way of the righteous. He knows that what we may go through in the course of the day, it's already been written. He already knows, but he's also there to help us. That's why we need to get up early in the morning and seek him, pray for God. You know, I'm giving you control over this day. I relinquish my day to you. I'm going to get my counsel from you. I'm going to be planted, rooted, and grounded in your word. I'm going to, you know, not take counsel from ungodly. I thank you, God, that my fruit is growing and that my leaves are not withering. That means I'm spending time in the word. This is something that is going to keep you, something that's going to really, really keep you. If you want to be kept, the Lord will keep you. And I want to just say, you know, we got a couple of minutes left. I just want to say to the single people out there, God will keep you in your singleness if you want to be kept. A lot of single people want to be kept. Some don't. Some could care less. Some single people sit in churches and say it's okay to shack. It's okay to do what I do. And God understands. He knows my heart. Yes, the Bible says that our hearts are deceitfully and desperately wicked. Who can know it but God? See, if we don't let God get a hold to our heart and we don't give it to him, we'll be doing all type of stuff and justifying the actions because we think it's okay and God understands. My pastor, she said Sunday when she was preaching about how, you know, some people say, well, you ain't had none in a long while. You got to get you something every now and then. No, you don't. Because the very people that's going out, and sneaking around and doing that type of stuff, you don't know what you're picking up. Number one, you're picking up spirits, okay, because you're drawing yourself. Number two, you don't know what that person got. You don't know if they got a disease. You know, AIDS don't have a face and it don't have a body odor either. You can be with one of the cleanest people in the world, and they may look like they're just as healthy as an ox, and they got all kind of full-blown AIDS going on, syphilis, gonorrhea, or something. And then there you go, you got it, because you fooled around and you know you were not supposed to be fooling around. But, you know, God wants to help us. He wants to help us all. Next week, we're going to be talking about satisfied and single and how to maintain satisfaction in being single while you're waiting on your mate. It's important. You have to first fall in love with Jesus before you fall in love with anybody else, because if you don't love him the way you need to love the Lord, and if you don't love his word and love the way he do things, you can marry somebody if you want to and you ain't where you need to be. It's going to be a hot mess up in there. It may start off like it ain't, but it'll end up being a hot mess because, you know, you got to let God get some stuff out of you. And we're going to be talking about that next week. So if you want to reach me, you can reach me at AllisonJCross@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Facebook at Apostle Allison Cross. And I'm on Facebook. You can also find me on Twitter. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or even have questions that you would like answered, go ahead and contact me at AllisonJCross@gmail.com. And we do have a couple of conferences coming up this year. We're going to be having the Gathering of the Apostles and Prophets later on in 2019. We're going to have some other conferences coming up. Go to my website, fireandrainministries.org. That's www.fireandrainministries.org. I got a couple of books up there for sale. If you want to purchase one, just go ahead and place that order, and I will definitely get that book out to you ASAP. So we'll be back here next week talking about being single and satisfied. We do have a couple of conferences coming up at my church that I attend, Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries. We got the Hardcore for Jesus for the Youth.
We got the pastoral anniversary coming up in the fall, and then next 2 weeks we have our church anniversary. God bless everyone, and good night.